This is CBS News on the Hour, presented by Indeed.com.
I'm Tom Foti in Washington. The number of people known to have died in the Maui wildfires now stands at 67. And because many people are still missing, that number is expected to go higher. Hawaiian officials consider this the worst disaster in state history. Our coverage starts with relief efforts for those who have lost everything or close to it. Here's CBS's Jeff Nguyen.
This Mormon church is providing shelter to about 200 people, most of them tourists who escaped Lahaina. On the mainland, this nonprofit in Santa Barbara sent supplies, including 300 personal care kits.
It's a little overwhelming.
And Maui resident Oprah Winfrey dropped off pillows, shampoo, and other items for evacuees staying at a gymnasium. Jeff Nguyen, CBS News on the island of Maui.
Emergency management records show no indication that warning sirens were sounded before people had to run for their lives. Instead, officials sent alerts to mobile phones, television, and radio stations, but widespread power and cellular outages limited their reach. The mostly destroyed city of Lahaina was a big tourist attraction. CBS's Carter Evans is covering the large evacuation efforts at a packed airport.
Thousands of people are still trying to flee Maui.
Oh, my Lord.
Many taken by bus through the burn zone to the airport. The Stanleys from California were on board.
We could see just smoldering.
There's just ruins.
Fires.
That line goes way back.
The federal prosecutor appointed during the Trump administration to investigate Hunter Biden, the current president's son, now has special counsel powers after an earlier plea deal apparently fell apart.
It's not clear what David Weiss's new mandate is, however. Will it include Hunter Biden's failure to register as a foreign agent? Will monies that may have made their way to offshore bank accounts in the names of other members of the Biden family, including the president possibly, be part of the investigation? Will he be taking another look at some of the things the two whistleblowers thought should be investigated but were shot down?
CBS News legal analyst Thane Rosenbaum. Fiasco is the word of the week in Louisville, where the school year started with kids stuck on school buses for hours deep into the night on day one. The next couple of days were canceled, and it could be the middle of next week before Louisville tries to get its students back into the classrooms.
I hope the community knows in no way are we saying that the issues that we have faced are issues with the bus drivers whatsoever. They worked extremely hard.
But some other acts were clearly not quite together. Sam Bankman-Fried is the one-time very high-flying FTX crypto CEO. Now he is in a New York jail, his bail revoked. Wall Street finishing the week on a mixed note on Friday. This is CBS News.
Hire with minimal effort and max speed with Indeed. Their hiring solution platform helps you attract, interview, and hire candidates efficiently. Visit Indeed.com.
If I could be you.
And you could be me for just 1 hour.
If you could find a way
to get inside
each other's mind.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
We've all felt left out. And for some, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Sometimes I just cannot believe all the storms we've gone through here.
I can only hope that we'll be able to leave this house to you one day, baby. You're our legacy.
Planning for these disasters will make sure we're safe and is the best way to protect that legacy.
Protect your legacy. Visit ready.gov/plan for the tools and tips you need to start your emergency preparedness plan today. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
I would be remiss if I didn't say that some of what we do in government always is political. It has policy impacts. It has political impacts. But if your raison d'etre and your organizing principle is that my guy wins and your guy loses, the entire country suffers. That is not our call to serve. That is not what we raise our hand and say an oath.
The Maggie Dawn Show, Monday through Friday at 6 p.m. on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
US Kids presents What to Expect When You're Expecting a Teenager. Learning the lingo.
Jelly. Jelly adjective. Jelly is a shorter, better way to say jealous. As in, Chloe, I am like so jelly of your unicorn phone case.
You don't have to speak teen to be a perfect parent. Thousands of teens in foster care will love you just the same. Visit AdoptUSKids.org. Brought to you by the US Department of Health and Human Services, AdoptUSKids, and the Ad Council.
When you're high, you feel different. You think different, you talk different, you draw different, you listen to music different, but you probably knew that. Problem is, you also drive different, and not in a good way. That's why driving high is illegal everywhere. So if you're high, just don't drive. Make a plan to get a sober ride. Because if you feel different, you drive different. Brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Don't let biased algorithms or degree screens or exclusive professional networks or stereotypes. Don't let anything keep you from discovering the half of the workforce who are stars. Workers skilled through alternative routes rather than a bachelor's degree. It's time to tear the paper ceiling and see the stars beyond it. Find out how you can make stars part of your talent strategy at tearthepaperceiling.org. Brought to you by Opportunity at Work and the Ad Council.
It's What's on Tap for the Chippewa Valley. 93.5 The Tap.
Warning, you are about to listen to the greatest radio show ever. And due to contractual obligations and to shield our airwaves and corporate licensees from any semblance of liability, responsibility, and gullibility, we must tell you the views represented on this show are not necessarily those of this station or its management. This radio show contains differing points of view on current political topics, and due to the nature of its contents, it should be heard by everyone. Thank you for listening. 3, 2, 1. Now live from the Devil Radio Studios in Madison, Wisconsin, where the political party is just beginning. Welcome to the Devil's Advocate Show. Friends proving it's never personal, only politics.
Please allow me to introduce myself.
Here is your host, Mike Crute.
Welcome back. Hour two of the Devil's Advocates Radio Show, the Friday football pregame edition. That's Howard Cosell, my co-host. How you doing, Howard?
I am not Howard Cosell, but thank you, Michael. Happy Friday to you.
Well, thank you. I'm very excited. Packers.
I can tell, man. You keep
Packers
talking about
preseason kicking off about an hour from now on WRJN, a Civic Media partnership with the Packers Radio Network. Dude, my whole little broadcast career, I always wanted to have the Packers. And now we do. And now we do. So I'm a happy camper, except it's Friday, so we got to air some grievances. And I got one, Dom. And I waited till 5 o'clock, till the second hour, the happier happy hour, knowing that, you know, a few of our right-wing trolls might creep off, find some Packer pregame coverage. Got a Brewer game rolling out tonight across the network as well. Might sneak off for some baseball while we talk about Hunter Biden. Dom, there's been a special counselor named. The plot has thickened, and this could complicate the presidential campaign of Joe Biden. Obviously, if you weren't listening in hour number one, and where were you? Unless you're listening to the Packer pregame show on WRJN, we did announce the breaking news here in the great state of Wisconsin. Joe Biden, our president, coming to Milwaukee on Tuesday. As they flush out the details, we'll bring them to you here on the Civic Media Network, Devil's Advocate Show. But Dom, other big breaking news. Collapse of the Hunter Biden plea deal could complicate the president's campaign. Yeah, because they named a special counselor. Here is what the Washington Post is reporting. A few weeks ago, the legal clouds, around Hunter Biden were clearing after years of personal and political turmoil. He had arrived at a plea agreement with federal prosecutors, one that would keep him out of jail while putting some of his past misdeeds behind him. Dom, we always like to put some of our youthful indiscretions behind us.
Yes, yes, of course.
He had settled a child support case in Arkansas. He began making his regular public appearances with his father. But on Friday afternoon, amid a flurry of court filings and solemn public remarks from Attorney General Merrick Garland, and we've got some of this sound, any sense that the legal woes of the president's son were concluding quickly vanished. The plea agreement collapsed, and the prosecutor said that a trial, therefore, is in order. Garland granted special counsel status to U.S. Attorney David Weiss, signaling that the investigation that recently seemed to be concluding is very much ongoing. And the upshot, President Biden faces the prospect that his re-election campaign will unfold at the same time his son faces trial, possibly in a federal courthouse a few blocks from the White House. The legal proceedings could weigh on the president politically, and the fact that the case involves his surviving son, one with a history of drug and alcohol addiction, one he speaks with almost every day, one most of his advisors avoid discussing with him, is also likely to weigh on him personally. Well, you know, it would be nice if your political opponent, let's call him Donald J. Trump, if he was under multi-count indictments in multiple jurisdictions, and you could talk about that instead of being questioned about your own ne'er-do-well son being under federal indictment or at trial. Well, politically, you'd rather have the former than the latter.
Cody, the reporting continues. Beyond that, Hunter Biden could face trial at a time when Democrats were hoping to focus would be on Donald Trump's own trials and legal problems. The situations are much different. Trump is charged with mishandling classified documents and attempting to overturn the 2020 election, while Hunter Biden faces misdemeanor tax charges and allegations about lying about his drug use and when purchased a gun. Most crucially, Trump is a former president who is seeking to return to the White House, and Hunter is a private citizen. Even so, the developments will inject an element of uncertainty into the White House. David Axelrod, a Democratic consultant who was President Barack Obama's chief strategist, said this: "On balance, I'm sure that this did not land well at the White House. There are elements of it that complicate things for the Republicans as well, but it's fair to say that nobody on Team Biden is eager for Hunter's case to be extending into the election year." Weiss becomes the second special counsel investigating matters related to Biden and his family. Garland appointed Robert Hur this year to probe the handling of classified documents found at Biden's home and former office. Biden has generally tried to avoid commenting on the ongoing investigation of Hunter Biden, but he has on occasion declared his son's innocence. "My son did nothing wrong," Biden said during a presidential debate in October of 2019. "I'm proud of my son," he said during a news conference in December of 2020, adding when asked about the likelihood that his son would be cleared on the tax investigation, "I'm confident," he replied. As of this May, his feelings had not changed. Quote, "My son has done nothing wrong," he told MSNBC. "I trust him. I have faith in him." Biden held no public events on Friday, and he did not speak to reporters, shouting questions about his son as he walked to Marine One en route to a weekend in his vacation home in Rehoboth Beach, Delaware. "I don't think he's really in a position to be commenting on all of this, but it's an awkward problem," Axelrod said. "He's also, as he's shown, he doesn't want to undercut his son. But it's hard to say Hunter Biden has done nothing wrong when he's already tried to plead guilty. It's not a helpful situation for him."
Can't imagine it would be, Dom. And while Democrats have tried to talk about Hunter Biden as little as possible, Republicans bring him up as often as they can, something that will probably only escalate if the legal case drags on. Dom, there is some call to impeach Joe Biden. Now, initially, this was the crazies, the loonies, the Freedom Caucus, and then she was kicked out of the Freedom Caucus. I'm talking about Marjorie Taylor Greene.
Right.
But it is my understanding, or at least it's being prophesized, that the special counselor, that the further investigation of Hunter Biden may lead to additional investigations of Joe Biden and could, in fact, lead to his impeachment. They'd like to get there. Whether or not there's anything there,
right?
They'd like to get there. I mean, while Trump's at trial, if you could impeach Joe Biden, if you could clip his wings down, you don't think that'd be appealing to the Republican Party? Oh, yeah, they're going to impeach his ass.
We have some sound from Garland. I think maybe we should get there. We're ready for that. Let's roll out with some Garland.
Do you think Sean Hannity's declaring this Merrick Garland Day because of the special counselor?
Let's hear what Garland has to say. Cut number one, please, if you would.
"On Tuesday of this week, Mr. Weiss advised me that in his judgment, his investigation had reached a stage at which he should continue his work as a special counsel, and he asked to be so appointed."
So apparently he did this month. He didn't last month. Remember all the back and forth. What did he? Did he ask to be a special counsel? Did he not? Da, da, da. Well, now he has asked, and he has been appointed. Let's do cut two, if you would, please, Nate.
I'm here today to announce the appointment of David Weiss as a special counsel, consistent with the Department of Justice regulations governing such matters.
Let's continue on. AG Garland Weiss, cut three.
Mr. Weiss has told Congress that he has been granted ultimate authority over this matter, including the responsibility for deciding where, when, and whether to file charges, and for making decisions necessary to preserve the integrity of any prosecution.
I think perhaps Hunter Biden should run for president, and he could talk about how political this is. A little more from AG Garland, cut number four, please.
I have concluded that it is in the public interest to appoint him as special counsel.
Okay, cut five. What about the authority?
Counsel, he will continue to have the authority and responsibility that he has previously exercised to oversee the investigation and decide where, when, and whether to file charges.
AG Garland talking about the special counsel appointed. Cut number six, please.
The appointment of Mr. Weiss reinforces for the American people the department's commitment to both independence and accountability in particularly sensitive matters.
Let's play. We have just two more. AG Garland, let's play them back to back.
This appointment confirms my commitment to provide Mr. Weiss all the resources he requests. It also reaffirms that Mr. Weiss has the authority he needs to conduct a thorough investigation and to continue to take the steps he deems appropriate independently. I am confident that Mr. Weiss will carry out his responsibility in an even-handed and urgent manner and in accordance with the highest traditions of this department.
Now, this is a little strange, Tom. David Weiss is the U.S. attorney appointed by Trump who had negotiated the prior plea deal with Hunter Biden, and he seems satisfied with it. He actually contradicted many Republicans that claimed, they didn't give him the power. He said, I always had the power. I made a deal. Well, now the Trump-appointed judge doesn't like the deal, and now this guy's seeking special counselor power. And you would say, that seems a little fishy. Well, that's what the Republicans are saying, Dom, because they think, according to the Foxy News Digital, this is like a smokescreen cover-up. Let me see if I can help you follow the controversy.
So getting exactly what they wanted, the Republicans I'm talking about, now is not enough?
Special counsel appointment. Something's not right. Republican lawmaker sounded off after Attorney General Merrick Garland on Friday appointed special counsel for probing a first son, Hunter. High-ranking GOP lawmakers torched Garland's appointment of U.S. Attorney David Weiss, who led the prosecution in Hunter Biden's tax and gun charges, to head up the special counsel probe. Well, why would you start over? House Oversight Committee Chairman James Comer called Garland's announcement part of the Justice Department's effort to attempt a Biden family cover-up in light of the House Oversight Republicans mounting evidence of President Biden's role in his family's schemes, selling the brand for millions of dollars to foreign nationals. Although he offered no evidence of that, right, Dom? Now, Weiss is the federal prosecutor who has investigated the first son's business dealing and brought charges against him in Delaware. His appointment as special counsel could indicate that, contrary to Hunter Biden's defense lawyers' claims, the Justice Department investigation into President Biden's son is not over. They're waiting breathlessly over at the Foxy News, Dom. They're hoping. Come back with us. Devil's advocates. No hoping. Just call in. 844-967-2789.
The RPG came through the belly of the aircraft. We don't talk about the female combat wounded. These are our daughters and our sisters and our mothers. Wounded Warrior Project came into my life and taught me how to stand back up and get back in the fight. The truth is, I think we all have this strength inside of us, but until you're tested, you just don't know it's there.
See how Wounded Warrior Project empowers women veterans like Beth by visiting woundedwarriorproject.org/empowerwomenvets.
Radio keeps your community informed, entertained, and connected. It's what we're all about at the Civic Media Network of local radio stations.
We're having fun and moving fast to preserve hometown radio across Wisconsin.
This includes a commitment to news.
Now we want to invite you to join Civic Media's exclusive Facebook group, Wisconsin Breaking News. It's a place to share your community's news and chat with others from across the state about it.
Join the Facebook group, Wisconsin Breaking News, today. It's the perfect companion to your local Civic Media radio station.
Tired of hearing only one side of the story? Do you want news and information from people who, like you, know what it's like to work hard every day and still struggle to make ends meet? Then tune in to The Rick Smith Show every weeknight from 8 to 10 p.m. right here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Be part of the conversation. Tune in, turn on, and take back the American dream. The Rick Smith Show. We're working people. Come to talk.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Mostly clear overnight. Low in the low 60s. Sunny, pleasant, and mid-80s tomorrow. More storms possible Sunday. Much cooler and breezy. High only low 70s. And still some showers Monday. Partly sunny and mid-70s. Currently at 62 degrees.
Thanks for listening to your local Civic Media radio station. Learn more on our website, civicmedia.us.
Malarkey. The Devil's Advocates invented malarkey.
And we're back. Thank you for listening to the Devil's Advocates radio show. Taking your calls, airing the grievances, 844-967-2789. Reporting that the Justice Department appointed a special prosecutor to look into the Hunter Biden. Now, this is the same guy who's been investigating, the same guy, Weiss, who had the deal that the deal fell apart. And I got to tell you, man, what, some of the Republicans that think that this is somehow a cover up because what, it would impact their own investigation, I guess. But anyway, it's just no pleasing some people. My understanding of the first deal breaking down was that, you know, did this involve any other crimes, right? Or was it just only these specific things? Did he get a pass and anything else that may have been done? That's my impression of how this thing went down. And they said no. And so Hunter and his team had a problem with that. So here's where we're at. And as I've always said, okay, you know, flush it out, do the investigation, do the, you know, get your facts. If there's criminality, pursue it, get justice. That's how it is. That's how it should be. If it were me, if it were Crudy, if it were Nate, if it were Luke, if it were any of you, okay. Then it goes, it doesn't matter. The politics don't matter to me. If he was doing some things, he already pled guilty. He obviously was doing some things. If they can't come to a deal, then go to trial and let that flush out. Let it happen as it should happen.
Dan, we've also got some updates on a gag order of sorts against the former president, but let's get to the phones first.
We'll get there. We'll get there. Be patient. 844-967-2789. But I want to throw this one out there.
Oh, there's more. If
we're going to talk about the family of presidents, and this one's also kind of odd to me. The Hill reporting, House Oversight Committee Chairman James Comer said Thursday that Jared Kushner, former President Trump's son-in-law and senior advisor while in office, crossed the line of ethics by accepting a $2 billion investment from the Saudi government in his private investment firm 6 months after he left the White House. In an interview on CNN's The Lead with Jake Tapper, Comer acknowledged an argument made by 2024 GOP presidential candidate Chris Christie, who noted Kushner's extensive work in the Middle East on behalf of the Trump White House and claimed in an earlier interview that Trump family has been involved in grifting for quite some time now. Comer, however, sought to draw a distinction between Trump's family business dealings and President Biden's families, which Comer suggested he viewed as more severe. And here's the quote. "I've been vocal that I think what Kushner did crossed the line of ethics. What Christie said, it happened after he left office. Still no excuse, Jake, but it happened after he left office. And Jared Kushner actually has a legitimate business. This money to the Bidens happened while Joe Biden was vice president, while he was flying to those countries," quote unquote. So in Comer's, you know, trying to line them up and knock them down on the Biden family, admits, and he says himself, That's unethical. And, to have a, the guy was what, a real estate guy? He's not an investment banker. You know what I'm saying? What are you talking about? They don't give him money to invest. What, dude? So if you think this is, and I would also suggest, Hunter Biden was never in office. Hunter Biden was never on the payroll. Hunter Biden didn't make millions and millions and millions of dollars while working for his dad at the White House. You're thinking of Jared Kushner. You're thinking of an Ivanka Trump. And if you think, Mr. Comer, that those things are unethical, well, I very much look forward to your investigation into the Jared Kushner business dealings with Saudis.
Are you encouraged by this? The pointing out of the rank hypocrisy, but suddenly it's unethical. Or perhaps worse, Congressman. 844-967-2789. Our pal Mark from the SAC. Welcome, Mark. What do you got?
Hey, Mark.
Yeah, well, first, the irony of them calling themselves Moms for Liberty when they're actually, also for banning for books. I mean, that's kind of the opposite of what liberty is, the definition of liberty. Imagine the collective works of Thomas Paine. They would find objectionable, as well as certain books of the Bible. I mean, with the book of Genesis, I guess it's Genesis. I just looked it up, Genesis 34, where Jacob's sons would murder the prince that married their sister, that after he'd been circumcised.
You're asking the wrong panel, Mark.
The point I'm making is there's all sorts of stuff that could, that is sexually explicit, but they would have to ban if they're consistent. I mean, it is just ridiculous that these people are out there calling themselves Moms for Liberty because they're anything but for liberty. I mean, yes, there's stuff that perhaps grade school kids shouldn't have access to, but they'd probably ban a book that I can remember reading when I was in sixth grade, The Rise and Fall of Adolf Hitler, which was actually a abridged version of The Rise and Fall of the Third Reich, and The Diary of Anne Frank, which was really big with the girls when I was in sixth grade, back in, I think it was 69. They're just not for liberty.
No, dude.
It
is not. And the Bible, I mean, if these are your criteria, the murder, the sex, that kind of stuff, the eternal damnation, that could, scare some kids. Certainly the Bible should be banned if you're going to ban any book.
If you hadn't heard, what is it? Moms for Liberty doing sort of a town hall with the presidential Republican candidates in Milwaukee day before the debate, right? 22nd or earlier in the day in the 23rd.
Yeah.
They got candidates. They just can't tell you which ones. But I'm pretty sure Marianne Williamson factors in. Maybe RFK Jr., Dom.
No, I doubt it.
One of our texters texted in, isn't banning the direct opposite of liberty? And then asked, should be called the National Karen's Clutch? They are quite Karen-like. I was in the Dells last night. I saw a lady checking in late night. Seemed little Karen-ish. Maybe it was the blonde sort of beehive, stacked on the top. The bangs crossing the forehead. The angry look in her eyes. I think I witnessed the urban Karen in her natural
A mom for
state.
Liberty?
Something like that. Folks, we're the Devil's Advocate. It is the happier, happy hour. Your Friday grievances will take you right up to Packer kickoff at 6 o'clock. Civic Media's got your Packer station. Pre-games played right now on WRJN 1400 AM. But at 6 o'clock at kickoff time, join us there. Milwaukee listens to the Packers on the AM, 1400 AM. Make a note of it. Listen to the game. But first, more Devil's Advocates.
Missed your favorite show? It's easy to find it wherever you listen to podcasts. Apple, Google, or civicmedia.us.
CBS News Brief. At least 67 people are now known dead in and around Lahaina on the island of Maui in Hawaii, the 58th state's worst disaster, the popular tourist city mostly destroyed.
It took me to make it to this shelter from Lahaina until I could even call my parents. It took 24 hours.
to just let them know that I'm alive.
Congressional Republicans who have been investigating President Biden's son Hunter and have been dubious about the Justice Department's recent failed plea deal with him remain dubious about the effective promotion of the longtime Trump-era investigator. CBS's Catherine Herridge.
Republican Congressman James Comer chairs the House committee investigating the Bidens.
It's 100% political move.
When will Louisville school kids return to the classroom?
Looking at it and the things that we need to implement with our bus drivers, it could be the middle of next week, but that's what we are shooting for right now.
That after a back-to-school fiasco during which day one left some kids on school buses for hours and the rest of the school week scrubbed. CBS News Brief, I'm Tom Foti.
Did you know the Wisconsin State Fair is 172 years old? It still celebrates the industries important to our state's history, like agriculture. But every year, new attractions and items are added. This year, there's more than 100 new foods to try. So what do you think topped the culinary list last year? Flamin' hot Cheetos, chicken on a stick, deep-fried old-fashioned, or pino pretzel popper brat? The answer's coming up. The Wisconsin State Fair didn't start in its current home of West Allis. The first was in Janesville along the Rock River, then moved to different locations the next 40 years. The original cream puff has been around almost as long. Close to 400,000 are gobbled up every year. So which food was number one last year? It was the pino pretzel popper brat. It came out on top. The State Fair is a true slice of Wisconsin, and it runs through August 13th. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
The Todd Alba Show.
I see the silhouette of Todd Alba, who still hasn't figured out that maybe a TV person could help, you know, set this whole thing up.
For whatever reason, yeah. StreamYard's video is just deciding that the room is too bright.
When has Todd Alba been accused of being too bright? I mean, really there? I'm like, where's Aaron with the rim shot?
The Todd Alba Show. Weekday afternoons from 1 till 3 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry.
When you want something so badly, what you're able to justify and rationalize and get over. So I would say there's not a non-zero chance.
But what record would she run on? Foxconn?
Well, what did she run on for governor? Probably the same thing.
I just remember her warning about people will be marrying coffee tables once gay marriage is allowed. So I'd like her to run just so I can ask her how many of those weddings she's been to.
As Goes Wisconsin with host Kristen Bry. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry.
And apparently, Maggie Dawn, Fig Newton lover of the Maggie Dawn Show.
I was so offended, Jay. You know how much I love and admire you. You're like my freaking radio hero. And then to hear you bash my Newton.
It's still bad.
You want the cakey part cakey. You want the jammy part jammy. That is like bringing me back.
As Goes Wisconsin with host Kristen Bry. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry.
Because I joined last night and I'm hopeful. Wow. I'm hopeful that it is more fun than Twitter has been lately, because Twitter has not been that fun lately.
I do wish it weren't those two.
I know. It's a weird thing to be cheering for Mark Zuckerberg right now.
I'm choosing between the Joker and the Penguin. This is not a winning solution.
As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry and Jane Mattenair. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
The Devil's Advocates, radio for the 99%.
Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates radio show, a Truthy Thursday edition. Dom, a happier happy hour rolling through it, expecting Maggie Dawn of the Maggie Dawn Show, Fighting Traffic. She'll join us very shortly, I suspect. But Dom, I got a little break in news from themadison.com. Not exactly what I'd want to hear in terms of lawsuits, but the Wisconsin fake Trump electors case to proceed to trial next year. Now, this is a civil action because we've yet to find a prosecutor with the cojones to charge criminally here in the state of Wisconsin, Dom.
Well, we don't know. Perhaps Josh Call is on top of it. Can't comment on pending litigation. Maybe there's something. Michigan, did their arraignment of their fraudulent electors today.
Dominic, a civil lawsuit against the 10 Republicans who signed paperwork purporting that Donald Trump won the 2020 presidential election is heading to trial next year after a Dean County judge largely rejected the Republicans' request to toss the case. Throw it out, please. We didn't mean to do it. Throw it out. Dane County Circuit Judge Frank Remington on Thursday denied the defendant's motion to dismiss claims alleging that the 10 Wisconsin Republicans and two attorneys who advised them broke multiple laws, including impersonating a public official, public nuisance, and engaging in a conspiracy, Dom. Here's a quote. Wisconsin voters have been waiting for nearly 3 years to hold the fraudulent electors accountable for their misconduct, according to Scott Thompson, an attorney with the firm Law Forward, which filed the case early last year. He said in a statement, "Their coordinated and deliberate effort to subvert our democracy must not happen again. Today's ruling is the next step in that process. Step in the right direction, Dom." Now, with Remington's order, the case will move forward to a September 2024 trial. Less urgent. These guys aren't on the ballot, per se. Remington's order comes about a week after the U.S. Department of Justice filed federal charges against Trump. Oh, I had noticed. Was Trump indicted or something?
What? Again?
About a week after the U.S. Department of Justice filed federal charges against Trump as part of a probe into the former president's efforts to overturn the results of the 2020 presidential, a scheme that relied heavily on actions taken by Republican electors in a handful of states, especially Wisconsin. Mark Jefferson, executive director of the Republican Party of Wisconsin, said in a statement that he is confident attempts to penalize people who were tricked will fall short. Who was tricked? Who was tricked, Mark?
Who's tricked?
Who's being Andrew tricked? Hitt?
Was Andrew Hitt tricked when he said, "This is a terrible plan, it's going to fail miserably"? Where do I sign? Was he tricked? They weren't tricked. They went along willingly. And that's what the evidence shows. And how is this a civil case and not criminal?
I have a statement, a quote, if you will. Pardon me. All action taken to produce an alternative slate was only done to preserve an ongoing legal strategy that I would point out had been exhausted like an hour before they actually committed this crime, Crudy's term, crime. I read on. They were only trying to preserve an ongoing legal strategy and only to be used in the event a court of law gave the alternative slate meaning. Then why didn't they state that in the documents, Tom? Remember Andrew Hitt said, "Yeah, I wish we had. I wish we'd have written a clause like we're not committing fraud. We're just in case." But they didn't do that, not in the state of Wisconsin, not like they did in Pennsylvania. He said, "We were not informed of any use of the alternative electors contrary to preserving the legal strategy and would not have approved of any other use." Right. A little bit more here, Dom. In the indictment against Trump, federal prosecutors heavily cite the actions of the slate of 10 Republican electors who gathered at the state capitol on December 14, 2020, to sign documents declaring Trump the winner on the same day Democratic electors cast the state's actual Electoral College votes for Joe Biden. Now, Dom, state Republicans have said the meeting took place on the advice of attorneys. Find counsel like Cheesebro and Troopas and Giuliani, right? The indictment states that some fraudulent electors, including those in Wisconsin, were tricked into participating based on the understanding that their votes would only be used if Trump succeeded in lawsuits challenging the election outcome. That's your legal defense? We was tricked?
We. But of course, as mentioned, former Wisconsin Republican Party Chair Andrew Hitt specifically said in his testimony, or at least was provided to the J6, "This is a terrible idea and it will fail." Where do I sign?
More from the Madison.com, Dom. Later in the document, prosecutors state that Trump and his co-conspirators, again, this the Trump January 6 indictment, that Trump and his co-conspirators ultimately used the certificates of these fraudulent electors to deceitfully target the government function and did so contrary to how fraudulent electors were told they would be used. According to the indictment, the shift took place after a November 18th memo from Trump campaign advisor Kenneth Cheesebro, which detailed the plan to Wisconsin attorney, wait for it, James Troupas, who represented Trump in the failed effort to overturn the state's 2020 election results. You know who would have insights on that?
Who would have insights on
Attorney that? Attorney Maggie Dawn?
Attorney Maggie Dawn, she might have something to say about Jim Troupas. Well, it should be great if she was here on time.
Don, the memo urged electors to convene on December 14th to, and here's a quote, preserve the alternative of Trump's Wisconsin elector state in the event Trump ultimately prevailed in the state. Just in case, Dom. However, on a separate memo, December 6th, it marked a sharp departure from the November 18th document and advocated, and here's a quote again, Dom, that the alternative electors originally conceived of to preserve the rights in Wisconsin instead be used in a number of states as fraudulent electors to prevent Biden from receiving the 270 electoral votes necessary to secure the presidency on January 6th. Damn. It's Maggie Dawn, our favorite legal counsel, at least one of mine. Welcome, Maggie Dawn, friend of the devils. How you doing?
Hey, Mike. Good to see you.
Hey,
now,
Maggie.
Maggie, we are talking about the advancement of the civil lawsuit against the fake electors here in the state of Wisconsin, and we're recapping some of the events. And I don't know, but I suspect you might have seen some of the recent reporting of this newest Cheesebro memo that's come to light, the second one, the one that departed from the prior plan. Maggie Dawn, let me ask you, you sat across from Jim Troupas, effectively the Trump legal team, during the recount in Milwaukee County. First and foremost, recall for those that don't know the story, what were they trying to achieve through the recount process?
They were trying to stop it. There's no question about that. They were, and short of stopping it, they wanted to slow it down to such a snail's pace that Milwaukee and Dane counties would not have been able to meet the deadlines in early December.
And Maggie, what means did they utilize to try and stop? I know it was delay, but how? What'd that look like at the counting center?
Yeah, so it was a blank show for the first 2 days. So you have to imagine, if you've never been to the Wisconsin Center, but it's about when all the ballrooms are connected, it's like the biggest ballroom you could ever imagine. Its maximum capacity is in the many thousands of people for a seated event. So you can imagine how cavernous that is. And so all of the tables were set up in these aisles with the counters at each table. These are hand counts, by the way. It's hand counts then verified with machine counts. If there's a discrepancy, you go back to the hand count, you redo it with the machine. They all have to check out. There are basically cordoned off areas so observers can sit. You have nonpartisan seats that are designated. You have Trump campaign observer chairs, and you have Biden campaign observer chairs. Then you have monitors that are walking all around. Then you've got the lawyers. Then you've got all the staff to these election commissioners and the Milwaukee County's own election staff all in this room at the same time. When it started on the first day, so we were setting up for days. Mind you, this is in like the very dregs of COVID. It was November of 20. So no vaccines generally available. So trying to stand this up just from a logistics perspective was incredibly difficult. And then when we got there, basically when we started to count, every single Republican Trump campaign observer at every single, because they sort of take wards and then they break them down even further into counting stations, depending on how big the wards are. Every single Trump campaign observer was objecting to every single ballot. So nothing could be counted. By the end of day one, it was clear what the strategy was, which we will object to every ballot. And so what we had to do was ultimately ask the campaigns, please identify all of your objections to ballots, the bases for those objections, and effectively present us with a brief within 24 hours, and then the other side will have less than 24 hours to respond, basically. I think we actually did it on a 12-hour timetable. So we had 12 hours, they came in with a series of, I think, about 15 different objections. The Biden campaign had 6 hours to respond. Then we brought all of that before the Election Commission, which I'm not a part of. I'm just their lawyer. And the Election Commission then commenced to question the lawyers about each of the different objections and the arguments regarding each. And then they ruled on every single one of them. And then after that was done, effectively, you would just have election observers saying objection one, objection two, duly noted. And there were a group of those that we still decided had to be pulled out of the count and set aside in case a court were to later decide that those ballots should not be counted. So that's what we did. And again, there were maybe three or four categories where ballots would actually have to be pulled out of the count and not counted. And we preserved those. They were counted anyways during the recount, but we knew exactly what category of objection or objections they fell under, so that if during his federal or state court proceedings, a judge said, yeah, that's right, those shouldn't have been counted, we could have easily then subtracted them out of the count so that we could still meet that deadline. That structure of how to move through that was mine.
I basically
had to sit down and go, how the heck are we going to do this if they're objecting to every ballot? And that was, all right, tell us all of your objections and we'll handle them all up front. And then you can just say 1, 2, 12, and we'll just keep counting. Thank you, Maggie Dawn.
If I understand correctly, it was the Trump team through Attorney Jim Troupas and other counsel. Their effort was effective. They were effectively trying to throw out all the absentee ballots. Now I'm talking about the litigation, not the actual recount, but their goal was to throw out something like 200,000 absentee ballots in Dane in Milwaukee County. What sort of timelines, how did the timeline of the recount affect the litigation, which went all the way up to the Wisconsin Supreme Court by December 14th and only was upheld on a 4-3 by a Hagedorn? Maggie, how did those two things work together in terms of timing?
And you mean the recount itself and the lawsuits, including the one in state court?
Yes.
Basically, you have to do the recount in a way that will allow the judicial proceedings to play out. So you have to be, that was what was so challenging here from just a logistics perspective, which was, I don't want a court ruling to come down and then it's like, oh, let's start over with the recount. Because that really would have jeopardized the deadlines that applied to Milwaukee and Dane counties to complete the recount so that the electors could be certified in the ordinary course. And so that was the interplay. We effectively just said wherever the court cases are or where they are, it was up to the campaign lawyers at the recount to make those objections, and they paralleled the arguments that they were making in the court cases. So we had to create a clean record, preserve ballots or set them aside where appropriate, but figure out a way logistically to keep the recount going so that the legal proceedings could continue. And if a court wanted to see ballots, we had them court effectively segregated out for the various objections.
So how'd that whole recount turn out, Maggie?
Yeah, Biden's count went up by, I think, a couple hundred votes.
Folks, you're listening to the Devils Advocates radio show. Our very qualified guest and colleague in broadcast is Maggie Dawn. Except Dom and I never headed up the recount on behalf of Milwaukee County. She's got a little more insight. Stick around. Having trouble talking. More Maggie.
I'm calling my lawyer. It might not be too late to get out of this.
Talking to your kids about the dangers of vaping can be hard. Getting them to listen to hot gossip is easy. So here's some drama you could share with your kid. Dude, did you hear about Cassie and Jake? No, but did you hear that vaping can cause irreversible lung damage and nicotine affects brain development? Nuh-uh. You don't need to gossip if you want to have an open conversation about vaping. So if you want to get tips on when and how to talk to your kids, visit talkaboutvaping.org. Brought to you by the American Lung Association and the Ad Council.
Hi, we're the Goo Goo Dolls. We're fortunate that our daughters have what they need to grow and learn. But that isn't the case for nearly 13 million kids in the U.S. that struggle with hunger.
Childhood hunger is a heartbreaking reality that Feeding America is working to change. Each year, the Feeding America network of food banks rescues billions of pounds of good food that would have gone to waste and provides it to families and children in need.
You can help kids in need in your community by visiting feedingamerica.org.
Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council. My name is Teresa Barber. I was in the United States Navy, and I served overseas in the Middle East and Africa. Early on in my career, I had a commander that taught our suicide prevention training, and the very next day, he took his own life. 90% of suicide attempts involving a gun are fatal. My way of continuing my service is to help protect my community by being a responsible gun owner and by storing firearms safely. Store all your guns securely. Help stop suicide.
Brought to you by End Family Fire and the Ad Council.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Mostly clear overnight. Low in the low 60s. Sunny, pleasant, and mid-80s tomorrow. More storms possible Sunday. Much cooler and breezy. High only low 70s. Still some showers Monday. Partly sunny and mid-70s. It's 60 right now.
Your home for local news, weather, and sports across the airwaves and always streaming on the Civic Media app. WMDX. Charged, never convicted. The Devil's Advocates.
And we are back. Thank you for listening to the Devil's Advocates radio show. Maggie Dawn, host of the Maggie Dawn Show, coming in a little early, working a little harder today. Thank you for joining me in studio, Maggie. We've been talking about doing this forever, and here we finally are doing it.
I know, in the pirate studio. I love it.
Don't tell anybody.
Maggie, got to ask you about
967-2789. Maggie Dawn, I'm going to hang out with you a little bit too, right?
Yeah.
All right.
Maggie, then fun. I'm going to monopolize your time up until then. Let me ask you about the fake electors here in the state of Wisconsin. The fake electors, obviously, to my opinion, untrained, not legal, but to my layman's opinion, this is a criminal offense. This is a fraud that's been perpetrated against the actual electors and the voters of the state of Wisconsin. Now, Maggie, we've argued on this show a little bit, not you and I, but Dom and I occasionally. Josh Call, we think he should be more active in pursuit. You know, let's drop some indictments already, sir. Maggie, where do you think we should stand on this? I heard right-wing talk radio host Dan O'Donnell defending the false Trump electors earlier today. Well, they're just doing their patriotic duty, you know, like the false electors in Hawaii in 1960. I didn't know that history well enough to refute it in my mind. But Maggie, if that guy's slinging it, I ain't buying it. So what's your opinion of the false electors?
It's pretty, I mean, let me just say this. This has absolutely no parallel to what happened in Hawaii. Zero, zippo, zilch. There was actually a problem in counting that occurred back in the day.
1960 Hawaii, right?
Right. Yeah. And that has no application to what occurred here. The counts were done. And because of that fact, there wasn't a disputed slate. There was not a question. And the idea that's being floated that somehow it was sort of confusing to these people who were asked to be fake electors that this needed to be done to preserve standing or legal claims should have been plainly and evidently obviously false to them. The lawsuits, many of them had already been decided before these fraudsters gathered surreptitiously and illegally in the basement of the Capitol. The Wisconsin Supreme Court had ruled. What's standing? The federal court case was proceeding. No one was denying that the Trump campaign had standing in federal court to challenge various federal election law interpretations. So what? That is a fig leaf of a fig leaf of a fig leaf, so much so that you can't find it anymore. The emperor has no clothes. That argument is just garbage, as far as I'm concerned. And Dan O'Donnell knows that there's no comparison and is not in any way analogous to Hawaii in 1960. And he knows that. He's engaging in active misrepresentations, what normal folks call lies, to try to excuse this and provide some stupid cover for these people who all knew better.
Well, Maggie, during the prior indictments, I heard Dan O'Donnell defend the president of the United States and say, well, how could he have committed a fraud? The U.S. Supreme Court has upheld that there must be a financial motive. And Maggie Dawn, I would point at $250 million worth of financial motive. And I would point out the guy defending that former president, since they started telling the big lie over on Right Wing Talk Radio, they've seen their ratings double. They're number one in the market. That lie drives ratings, drives profits. It's just as much a grift when Dan O'Donnell says it as when Donald Trump says it.
Exactly. And oh, here's what. The Republican head of the Wisconsin Elections Commission just called them all grifters in June, too. I'm going to talk about this on my show in the next hour. We're going to do a little deep wonk dive. ProPublica just interviewed a woman who for years was the Green Lake County.
Marge. Yes.
A woman whose name comes right after my own heart, being a Margaret myself and often referred to as Marge growing up. Right. And they quoted Don Millis saying people are promoting these lies and they're grifters. They're doing it to make money. So, yeah, it was a fraud. And yes, Donald Trump clearly stood to financially benefit. Are you kidding me? The guy made his freaking Secret Service details stay in his own hotels at basically premium prices. He bought the old post office or whatever it was. And then, you know, all the diplomats stayed there when they came to visit. I wonder if he made any money off that. His son-in-law gets a full-time grift from the Saudi Sovereign Wealth Fund. That's not enrichment. I mean, come on. Everybody's making
but Hunter Biden
this year, right? Right? Oh, Benghazi, Hunter Biden. I mean, does anybody on the GOP side ever realize that your shtick starts to sound exactly the same all of the time?
They just hope that you don't remember. Maggie Dawn, host of the Maggie Dawn Show. Talk about state of mind. Pulled this one up. I think it's important. Andrew Hitt. This is from the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel back in December of 22. Here's what Hitt said. I'm definitely concerned about their inquiry. Hitt texted the GOP executive director, Mark Jefferson, when he learned of the plot that followed Trump's 2020 election loss. I hope they're not planning on asking us to do anything like try and say we're the only proper electors. These guys are up to no good, and it's going to fail miserably. I mean, they knew, Andrew Hitt knew exactly what was in front of him, the piece of paper. They knew exactly what the plan was. They knew what was going on. They knew the risks. Hell, they thought it was going to fail, and they did it anyway.
Yeah,
Maggie, don't forget one question, I believe, by the January 6th committee. Well, why didn't you have some declaratory statement in? If you're going to sign this, you're going to say this is just in case. Why didn't you include that language in the statement you signed?
Like,
and Hitt said, I wish we would have.
Whoops. Was that a crime? Did I slip up on a banana peel and commit a crime here? Yes, he knew it. That was the then chairman of the entire state GOP. He knew it was wrong. He knew it was a crime. Everyone knew. They're all lying. And now they're just trying to come up with some sort of plausible additional lie to cover up the original lie, all the while trying to grift people that continue to believe this garbage. I mean, what did Trump spend last year? The disclosure was like $40 million on legal fees. You think that might double, triple, maybe quadruple in this annum? He's got to pay for it somehow, and it sure is blankety blank ain't coming out of his pocket.
Well, trial before, will there be realistically a trial in January of 2024?
Jack Smith is a genius, okay? Like, you try to keep these cases as clean and as simple as possible. That is what he did with the January 6th indictment. And for that reason, I think we are going to see a Jan 6th indictment trial before the election.
Will it be January 2nd, as they've asked for today?
Boy, wouldn't that be some poetic justice? Bring it on.
We could do it on the 6th. I'm fine with like a four-day delay.
A delay?
Yeah, a four-day delay.
I don't think the trial will go in February, but it'll start in the first quarter of 24. That's my prediction.
I like how you think, sister. Maggie Dawn, attorney at law, Milwaukee County Corporate Counsel, hero to the state of Wisconsin. She was on the other side of the Trump recount. She saved democracy, I swear to God. Thank you for doing so. Maggie, thanks for joining us on the Devil's Advocates. Stick around. Her and Don, keep it going. I'm outie. Have a great night, guys.
Thank you, man.
Did you know the Wisconsin State Fair is 172 years old? It still celebrates the industries important to our state's history, like agriculture. But every year, new attractions and items are added. This year, there's more than 100 new foods to try. So what do you think topped the culinary list last year? Flamin' Hot Cheetos Chicken on a Stick? Deep-fried Old Fashioned? Or Pino Pretzel Popper Brat? The answer's coming up. The Wisconsin State Fair didn't start in its current home of West Allis. The first was in Janesville along the Rock River, then moved to different locations the next 40 years. The original cream puff has been around almost as long. Close to 400,000 are gobbled up every year. So which food was number one last year? It was the Pino Pretzel Popper Brat. It came out on top. The State Fair is a true slice of Wisconsin, and it runs through August 13th. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.